Hey, well, welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's your weekly freak show here, actually bi-weekly this week on Renegade Radio and also on YouTube, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, Podchaser, wherever you're listening to us. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and she's back.
I'm back.
Yes.
And I remembered my phone this time from the grocery store.
Yeah, that was a weird one. But it's everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ, Hannah Bock.
Hey guys. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. Only a couple more days till Halloween.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Hannah, there's since we started the show, there's all these people I really wanted you to meet.
And yes.
You've met a lot of interesting people.
Yes, I have.
And so have our listeners. And I'm so glad that this woman took time out of her morning coffee to be with us. Straight from Thailand. This is, I don't even know. It's always hard to describe you, but she is an MC. She's a sideshow performer. She lifts weights with her vagina. She does all sorts of things. She's a audio engineer. She's a philosophy graduate. She's done all sorts of things. She's worked with fire. She's worked with nails. She's worked with everything. She's stapled things all over her body. And the always entertaining and always lovely Jen Osai.
Hello. Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to, I'm glad you're on the screen. I got to stop popping, but we're going to talk all about you and all about what you've done and what you're doing, and and how I met you, all the sorts of stuff. But before we get going, I got to do the sponsors really quick, and then we're going to have the camera on Geno's side. Audible is still our sponsor. If you go to audibletrial.com/DMS, you get a free book and a free Audible original and a 30-day trial to Audible free. You get a free audiobook, free Audible original, or two free books, or two free Audible originals. Get the new autobiography but from Ralph Halford from Judas Priest. That's on there already. I got it myself. It's lots of tales of heavy metal and homosexuality. Whatever you want. They have everything from Shakespeare to Smut. They have an Audible original of Neil Gaiman. Neil Gaiman's Sandman with James McAvoy playing Dream. All sorts of books. They've got books on sideshow performing. They've got books on Thailand. They've got books on genocide. Whatever you want. Everything was Shakespeare, it's much. It's on Audible. And I was going to ask you, because I saw you, and we're going to talk about this, but you recently, or fairly recently, performed at a vegetarian festival.
Ooh.
Well, okay, so a few clarifications. It's the Phuket Vegetarian Festival, and it happens every year in old Phuket town, Thailand. And I did not perform there. I went there to witness some of the most amazing feats of mind over matter that I have ever had the privilege of witnessing. So I can send you some pictures.
Goes beyond turning down meat.
Oh yeah. So the story goes about 400 years ago, a Chinese opera troupe was coming through and there was like a plague like thing that hit the area. Everybody got really sick and the Chinese troupe said, you know what? We haven't been clean internally. So for 10 days, they go completely vegan. They don't drink alcohol. They don't have sex. They don't think bad thoughts. They don't use bad words. Mm-hmm. And they abide by these tenets. And it now has evolved into, it's a countrywide phenomenon. But in Phuket town specifically, the different Chinese temples around the area each host a procession where you have the monks, the Masong, they go into trance, they are possessed by one of their gods, and then they have piercings, usually made through the cheeks, mm-hmm. from this big to literally the width of the jaw, and depending on your trade, so if you're a carpenter, you would maybe have a bunch of saw blades put through the piercings. If you Ooh. Are a captain, you have an anchor that is pierced through your face. Or if you're just showing devotion in general and it's not specifically for your trade, there's giant swords. You know, there's guys with 6-7 swords through their faces, hundreds of needles covering their arms, you know, with beautiful flowers and tassels, and they proceed through the town, and while they're possessed, they give blessings to the different people and the different businesses in the area. So the Phuket Vegetarian Festival, Google it, look up some of the images. They are extraordinary. This is my third year going, and it's something I will try. I don't ever want to miss it. It's just amazing. Wow. Because you see these guys that, you know, normally even I work with a lot of suspension practitioners, mm-hmm. and even when someone is completely ready to get a piercing for suspension, you can watch their eyes and you'll still see, even if they're breathing and they're totally calm and they don't flinch, you'll still see maybe like pupillar contraction or something. Mm-hmm. But some of these guys at the vegetarian festival are getting a spike like this that starts off, you know, like really, really, really tiny and then stretches up to a 3-inch piece this quickly. And they just get it pierced and their pupils don't even dilate. They're not sweating. They're not bleeding. Mm-hmm. So it's a really intense ritual. And then they, parade through the town 5-6 kilometers sometimes with these massive piercings decorating their face and bodies. And then at the end of it, they just sit down, take the stuff out, put some Steri-Strips on it. They go back to the temple. The god leaves their body. They go out of trance and they are right back to normal. I mean, exhausted, of course, but mm-hmm. It's an absolutely fascinating festival. And I'm really lucky to be able to go every year to Phuket town to see it.
Oh, no, that's definitely something I have to put on my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds
and all the
just
vegan food.
yeah, exactly. Yes.
I've had food there that I would have sworn was real meat, and you uh-huh. know, like eating fake fried chicken that was just kick Colonel Sanders' ass left, right, and center.
Well, funny you should mention that because one of our sponsors is Doomie's Home Cooking here in LA.
Oh, I love Doomie's.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, you've been there. Okay, so you know all about it. That's 1253 Vine Street on the corner of Fountain and Vine. If you're in Hollywood, they also have one in Culver City and one in Toronto, Canada. They just, speaking of chicken, they just they got a whole new chicken menu. Chicken cordon bleu sandwich. I had it. It was delicious. Blue Popeyes and KFC away. It was delicious. Now they have pasta, chicken parmesan. They have chicken Alfredo. And they also have a Mexican restaurant. The biggest fajitas I've ever had. Now your mouth is watering. Doomie's Home Cooking, 1253 Vine Street. It's the best. And just real quick, we're also sponsored by House for Hollywood. Go to the description in this episode on YouTube or on the podcast catchers and get, you know, you get 20% off House for Hollywood and a free gift. So get your butt plugs, get your dick pills, get your lingerie, get all that. Also, Spy Associates. You never know who's spying on you. Maybe you want to spy on somebody. You just want to get some James Bond gadgetry. Look at that. Jen's eyes light up. They got this.
Get those monkeys.
Yeah, you want those monkeys there in Thailand. They've got like GPS tracking, bug detectors. They have cameras, little cameras that go in smoke detectors, all sorts of stuff. So if you want to spy on somebody or you want to see if somebody's spying on you, 20% off any order over $249. And the last one, if I could teleport this to you, Jen, because I know you're waking up, I would. Raise energy drinks. This is the best. I've tried them all, and this is the best. You can't get this at 7-Eleven. You can't get this. Raise, R-A-Z-E. You can't get this at 7-Eleven or the supermarkets, but you can get it at gyms, D&Cs. It's the best. This is Baja Lime flavored. It tastes just like Baja Blast from Taco Bell, but the best part about it, zero carbs, zero calories, zero crash. We have a code, you get 15% off a case. I just ordered some great bubble gums, and that's on the way. So, but the Baja Lime, I love it.
Nice.
The bubble gum. I wonder if it's going to taste like Hubba Bubba or that stuff they used to clean your teeth with it as a kid.
Raise always is delicious. Even the sour gummy worms, which I didn't think would be good.
Interesting.
That was good. So,
all right.
So, Genocide. So, Hannah, you've been watching Genocide videos all day. So, what would be your first question?
Okay. So,
there's a lot to take in.
What I'm really interested in, because I have thought about this in the past, my girlfriends and I were We went to tour the Bunny Ranch, which is a brothel, and we all wanted to get a little gadget. And my girlfriend, she got the weights to train her Kegel muscles, right, and hold them in place. And you can lift weights with that. Is that how you started? Like, how did you start and get your strength to do that? I mean, it's phenomenal.
It's so I used to work with a group called Swing Shift Sideshow, and Kelvicta the Blade is known for her pussy dart act, and it is incredible. Definitely Google it.
Okay.
I'm not sure how much footage is up online, but if you get a chance to see it, she is phenomenal. And when I left the troupe, it was like, man, I really wanted to do a vaginal act, but I didn't want to step on her labia, you know. So I was like,
especially since she starts out of her vagina, that could get painful.
As long as you do it right, you know, that's why you leave stuff like that to the professionals.
If you steal her act, she's coming right for you with that vagina.
She actually punctured the lung of her ex-partner 3 different times. She has so much strength.
Wow. Yeah,
like it's no joke. It's not like a little pew, you know, like it falls out of the blowgun. Like, she's got some force. She actually, I'll tell a quick story because it's hilarious. We were on America's Got Talent, and the night before, we were hanging out with some of the other performers that were going to be on the show, and they were like, what? You do what with a blowgun? So we decided to give them a little impromptu demonstration. And normally I would always wear a safety mask because, you know, a dart this long anywhere in your face is just generally no bueno. But it was late and I was tired, and I'm like, I trust her aim. It'll be fine. We may have had one or two drinks, or 12, 13. And I said, no, I'll be fine. I don't need to go get the mask. And the one time she missed on me, it actually went straight into my nose and lodged into my skull, to the point where we had to have 3 different, because I could feel it like hit and go thung. So I had to have 3 different people trying to yank this thing that had been embedded in directly into my face. So yeah, check out Kelvicta's The Blade's dart gun act. It is the original, and holy hell, does that woman have some power. So when I decided that I wanted to do a vaginal act, I had to do something that is completely different. So what's the opposite of shooting something out? I'll hold something in. So I decided to, I had some Kegel weights and a carabiner and a bucket. And I was like, all right, let's pop them in there and see what happens and hold it. And then I just started filling the bucket with change to see kind of how much I could hold. And as long as I didn't move, you know, it's like if you're trying to hold something really, really heavy, you know, as long as you don't swing it around or anything, you know, you can generally hold a good amount of weight. And I'm like putting more and more change in. Wow, this is okay. All right. This is a really interesting feeling. And I just started practicing that way. And now the most that I can lift from a deadlift, like not moving around, not talking, not being on stage or anything, is 15 kilos. But generally on stage, because when I do it as an act, I make it audience participation because it's far more entertaining to me that way. And I have the audience fill up my bucket, and that way, you know, right now I have the third strongest vagina in the world. And
last time I talked to you was the third.
Yeah.
I don't know if you moved up or not.
No, I haven't moved up. I'm still not making my mama proud, but someday soon.
That's good. Now, what's the latest thing somebody's thrown in a bucket?
Half a cantaloupe.
It
was at like 2 o'clock in the morning at a gala masquerade event called Theater Bazaar in Detroit, which also you should look up. It's not happening this year because of COVID, but it's the coolest event I've ever had the luxury of performing in. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I tell the audience, okay, pull out the weirdest thing in your purses or wallets and come up and help me, you know, make it to number two. And this woman pulls out, in this elegant, you know, beautiful headdress and beautiful gown and everything else, pulls out half of a cantaloupe, not wrapped, just out of her purse, comes up and puts the cantaloupe into the bucket. She wouldn't tell me the story behind it. Everybody was laughing. I was like, why do you have a melon in your purse, ma'am? I really need to know the story behind this.
I think I know the story. I think she was at a buffet and threw something in her purse.
I think we need spy associates on that one.
Indeed, that's the kind of stuff that, you know what, I need to talk to spy associates, and I need to put one of the little tiny cameras looking down into the bucket so that people can see what crazy shit goes in. Because I had somebody throw in a vibrator into, like, that was on into a metal bucket, and
you know when you're chewing?
Oh, no, I couldn't turn it off. I guess
no, I mean, didn't throw you off because it was vibrating.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's like when you chew on tinfoil and you just feel through your entire skull, it was like,
gotcha.
And trying to, like, you know, not drop things while I'm talking and going, hey, ladies and gentlemen. It was it was quite a surprise. But people thrown dry ice in, a dead fish. Worms. People are so strange. That's what I love about performing, is that, you know, I like to make my stuff as interactive as possible, because the audience is far fucking weirder than I will ever be, you know? Like, my business card says professional weirdo, because we're all weirdos. I've just made made a career out of it, you know? So getting to see what people come up with, it's always something so bizarre. So I love interacting with the audience and finding out just how fucking weird people are.
going back to the cantaloupe.
It's going to haunt me until the day I die.
Now, did she put it in gently, or did she just, like, plunk it in?
It was gentle. I begged her. I was like, I've only got one of these things, so if you could just, you know, gently. Some people come in and try and, like, slam dunk, and I'm like, look, this is an irreplaceable part, you know? So please be gentle.
Was it mainly dudes that try to slam dunk it? Because ladies, we should have, like, respect for the...
No, it depends on, I think, the intake of certain substances, you know? Like, if somebody's really drunk, they're like, wow, this is so cool, I'm just gonna, wow! You know, if somebody's sober and is just curious, but then you always have the quiet sadist that comes up and has, you know, like a janitor's size thing of keys, and they'll come up and go, wah-ha-ha, and then just drop it, you know, really heavily into the bucket.
Oh, no.
This is what makes this act such a powerful metaphor. And I would imagine a lot of guys that come up, some guys have a strange relationship with the vagina, and some guys are afraid of it. So I would imagine doing this type of act, sometimes it takes something going to get some guys up to even.
Well, and it's anything. Yeah, it's always so. I don't know. It's so interesting to me to see how people react, because I want them to feel a little bit uncomfortable and awkward at the beginning, because it's a comedy act. It's not a heavy duty sideshow act by any stretch of the imagination, but for me, it's a comedy act. So, I'll make sure that I have really, you know, strong eye contact with the audience while I'm putting the weights in, going, oh, sorry, I'm from Vegas. This may take a minute. It's a bit dry, you know, whatever. Like, seeing people's faces as it happens, because I want them to see that it's something that anybody can do, that this isn't a magical fakir act. This is just a feat of strength, you know? And, you know, the internal lady muscles do, and men have Kegels as well, but
yes.
You know, specifically right using now. You know what? You don't have Kegel face, so that's good, because a lot of people, they just all of a sudden go, am I doing it? Am I doing it? You get Kegel face. So, yeah, men and women, everybody, I mean, Kegels are incredibly important, and they do make your sex life better, and they do make orgasms better, and they do make it so that when you get to the point that you get incontinence, that you will be less likely to be so. But also, it's just fucking funny, because, you know, we all, but 51% of us have pussies. The other half, you know, there's hope for surgery eventually. And seeing how people react when all this is happening is just, it for me, it's hilarious, because you'll have people that are really into it. They're like, oh my God, this is so cool. I want to know all about it. And then you have people who are like, I can't even look. like my vagina makes me think of my mother, and all of a sudden I'm having issues, and you know, so really, really the full spectrum of emotions and reactions from people. So that's why I like doing it so much. It's just, it's always, always something funny. I'm actually going to be performing that here in Thailand on October 30th.
Oh, fun.
And yeah, part of me is like, well, I can't beat a ping pong show, but most Thais haven't ever actually seen a ping pong show. So, you know, my friends are trying to figure out how to explain what vaginal weightlifting is to the local Thais. And they're like, you just see the consternation on their faces. They're like, so she has a bucket and she holds it with her. And they see the faces kind of go. So I have no idea how this is going to go over. There's going to be a lot of Western there for sure. But I'm personally very curious to see how the local Thai people take the act. If they find it offensive, if it's too much for them, if it's, you know, because sex isn't very publicly spoken about. That's something, you know, it's a more conservative society here. So we shall see.
Speaking of sex, and this is a delicate question, but I have to ask it. Have you gotten so aroused during sex that you overdid it with your superhuman Kegel muscles and
anybody? Yeah. I had a partner that had
it's freezing.
And they're all broken. So
say that one more time because you froze there as soon as I asked the sexual question.
I had a partner that had silicone ribs implanted along the length of his shaft, and they are now.
Recipe for disaster. I can feel it already.
Yep, I certainly did. They all broke. in multiple pieces. So, yeah.
Did he get it fixed though, and get him put back in, or
no idea? No idea. But I will.
Once you break a guy, you're done with him.
Once you break all the ribs, it's time to go, right? So I will tell you that one thing I didn't quite take into account with this act was that I was doing it on a tour that was 31 something days. And I didn't take into account that whole cycle that women have where all of a sudden we start bleeding out of our vaginas, right?
Right. So,
there we were in somewhere in Europe, I think it was Germany, and when the balls came out, so did a lot of blood. Like, it was like Gallagher splash zone in the front row. And I was like, oh, well, okay, give me a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. At least I'm not pregnant.
Oh, good comeback. Good, good.
What else do you say, you know?
Right.
Like, that was such a surprise. But then I had to keep doing it. We had a show booked every night, you know, so... I just had to kind of roll it into the act and make jokes about it. But yeah, it's always a always an adventure for sure.
Well, they didn't have to pay extra for that.
Right.
Now how would Hannah start lifting weights for her vagina? I think she's interested.
Well, you take any kind of Kegel weights that have, I should have a set with it, but I don't.
Kegel balls. Yeah,
but you want to have something that has a string at the bottom with some type of hole, right? So that you can pull them out, because it's impressive how much the body wants to hold them in.
Right.
And so for safety, definitely need a way to pull them out. Ask any ER nurse if they've ever had to retrieve certain items, and they will tell you, yes, always make sure that you have a ripcord.
Oh, yeah. Sex sent me to the ER.
Yes. And then literally you just start adding weight to it. And as the weight is inside, just like you do with any other muscle building, you know, repetition. And even if you don't have the weights in, doing your Kegels 100 times a day, pulling in, pushing out, pulling in, pushing out. It's something women should be doing just for general health anyway. But if you want to actually start lifting things, just slowly but surely start adding more weight. And hopefully we can, in the future, have a pussy tug of war. And you can be the second strongest vagina.
That would be awesome. I'm definitely interested, because I do my Kegels along with when I do my workouts in the morning, because it's very important. I don't want to be like, again, I don't want to have to sneeze when I'm an older lady and have an accident in the storm. Like, no way.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, it makes sex even better, you know? Oh, so yeah. Why the
men
hell
are
not?
Just like, woo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Unless you have ribs. Now, Hannah was posting today on Instagram, or yesterday, I'm not sure which. Our friend who's been on the show many times, who's probably almost as crazy as you, is Dangerous D, Darren Melfi. I'm not sure if you've come across him.
Yeah. But
he taught Hannah how to breathe fire.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Last year now. What was the first time you started breathing fire?
I was about 14, and I saw a guy perform at an old place called Cafe Copio in Vegas. And he just did the full gamut of sideshow stunts, from fire eating, fire breathing, the human blockhead, the human pincushion, bed of nails, blowing up a hot water bottle with his breath. And afterwards, I went up to him and was like, I have to know how to breathe fire. Like, this just is, it's insane. And I love it. And I'm a pyro, and I just, gimme. And he was like, well, you know, I don't actually just hand out, you know, stunts like that. Sorry, but have fun, kid. And I basically just annoyed the living shit out of him until he finally was like, okay, fine. I'll teach you under one condition, that you learn everything in my repertoire, because I'm going to be passing this on to you in a tradition that can't really be broken. It can't be parceled out. So he sat me down, and to ensure that I was going to actually follow his instructions, when I think back, this was so crazy. He said, look, I have to know that you're going to trust me and that you will do exactly as I say, or otherwise you will get very, very badly hurt. So do you trust me? And I said, yes. And he goes, okay, sit down and sit on your hands. So I'm like, okay. And he pulls out a big 10 penny nail that's barbed and rusted and just nasty, right? And he gets his hammer, big old hammer. And he goes, okay, so you want to know how to do blockhead, right? I said, yep. And he goes, okay. So he puts it right up against my nose. He goes, okay, on the count of three, one, don't, whatever you do, don't move. Two, don't you dare move. Three. And he didn't. And then he threw that nail away and pulled out a skinny one. And we started working on actually training for blockhead. But then I got into breathing fire and learned a bunch of stunts from him. So, yeah, I want to say it was like 14 or 15, something like that. And
Sal,
the human salamander, he had actually traveled with the old sideshows back in the day and found his retirement calling in Vegas as a I don't know what the technical term is, but basically back in the day before casinos had cameras everywhere, they hired professional card manipulators to look out for other people that might be cheating. And they had them sitting up above the pits and watching and being like, nope, that guy's counting cards. Nope, that guy's palming cards. That guy's doing that. So that was where
he would be up in the ceiling with the binoculars looking at the people.
Yep, yep. So before Spy Associates, there was Sal the Human Salamanders.
Now you're 6'3". When you were 14 or 15, when you met Sal, were you 6 foot?
No, I was probably 6'2", 6'2 and a half, something like that. I've always been just fucking gigantic. So,
do you think if you were like 5 foot that he would have done that?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I definitely had an attitude to match my height. You know, I thought I was a teenager. So, you know, of course I think I know everything and I'm the shit and I'm the toughest and the coolest and the, you know,
yeah,
so I don't know, maybe.
Come on,
what are you talking about?
What are you going to say?
What were you going to say?
When you're young, you think you're invincible. Of course. You're like, I can do
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. I can do anything. Yeah. And, you know, it's true. You really can do anything. It's, you know, it's all mind over matter. It's all a matter of taking your own personal boundaries and pushing them to find out what you're truly capable of. And that's something that really draws me to sideshow and suspension and different just extreme practices of the body, is that we are capable of so much more than we give ourselves credit for. You know, so to see someone hang from hooks, you know, you're like, I could never do that, but you can, you know, to see somebody breathe fire. Oh, that's insane. I could never do that. but you can. So the flexibility of the human spirit.
Somebody can lift a half a candle up with their pussy. They're pretty indestructible. But I've never seen you hang from hooks, but it doesn't surprise me. When did you start getting into that?
I started body piercing when I was really young, and I don't remember what my first suspension was that I saw, but I was just instantly drawn to it. I've always been drawn to the macabre and the bizarre, and there was a book called Modern Primitives, which, if you're not familiar with it, please check and see if they maybe have a copy of it on Audible. I doubt it, but if they do, get a gander. It's a book that changed many people's lives around the world because it showed ritual practices being done by modern people and how they pulled those ancient practices into the modern times. And seeing a suspension, I was again just going, there's no fucking way that I could never do that. And because I've got a lot of back problems, I've actually only suspended myself one time and loved it, had a blast, felt incredible. I was surrounded by the best people in the world at a suspension convention in Oslo, Norway. But in the end, I had to come down because my back hurt too bad. So because I can't really do it myself, I like to help facilitate and work with other people, either helping with rigging or helping with the piercing or just helping the person through the experience. So that way I can kind of by proxy, by osmosis, still be involved in such what I see as such a beautiful practice, even though I can't necessarily do it often myself. But I take hooks and pulls.
As indestructible as you are, you've broken your back twice, right?
Yes, indeed. I've had nine back surgeries.
No, hon.
How'd you do that? Dude,
chicks dig scars. It's fine.
is there a sideshow story behind that, or you just have a bad back?
No, I just got in two car accidents when I was younger and broke my back at 19 the first time. 2 pounds of titanium went in. Healed beautifully, perfectly well, and then a year and a half later, I got hit in another car accident, and it stripped the threads on some of the screws in my back and broke some of the titanium rods, so they had to yank all that out, and then they put a morphine pump in my back that went straight to my spinal cord. I had that for 14 years, and then I thought I was cool and tough and could handle a life without it and had it removed. And then I had a spinal cord stimulator implanted up into my spinal cord, which came with an iPod and you could turn it on and off. And it was really weird and didn't do shit. Just recently have had a procedure done where they beat up the scar tissue from the inside using a needle. I had that done here in Thailand. It's actually helped a lot, but yeah, no cool story. I wasn't like fighting a great white or anything. It's just shitty drivers in Vegas. So,
wow.
C'est la vie.
That'll do it. Yeah.
You know, kudos to you for going through all that and you're still performing and you're smiling. That's amazing.
Really, really, really lucky. Because I've had three major accidents, two which actually broke vertebrae. And all three of them, I should have been paralyzed or dead. So I'm grateful as hell and try to squeeze as much awesomeness out of every moment of my life as possible because I know that it can be taken away just in a heartbeat. So I think that's probably one of the reasons I tend to live in such extremes because I feel like I have a ticking time bomb, you know, at any moment. And this goes for all of us, you know, at any moment your health can be taken away from you. Your wealth, your everything, you know? So I try to go as hard as I can, as long as I can, as far as I can for as long as I can, because at some point I'm not going to be able to. So I want to look back and, you know that, yes, I did go to Thailand and I did go to the Thai Busan Festival in Malaysia. And yes, I did do this and I did do that. And when given the opportunity. And like you said, I'm super lucky that I am still able to perform and get out and about and do stuff. Like I just turned 41 and I'm starting to feel it. I feel 71, you know, structurally, but this is the only life we have. So we might as well make it as fucking awesome as humanly possible.
I agree. Happy birthday. And you were absolutely gorgeous. I would have never guessed you're 42.
Thank you.
Especially 41. You're welcome. But
41. Yeah, sorry. My grandpa did that to me earlier too. He's like, you're 37. I'm like, 36.
And by the way, I have to apologize. You're in Thailand, but all these firecrackers seem to be here in LA. So I don't know what's going on outside my window.
It's Dodgers stuff, I think.
Is that what it is? Oh, did they win the World Series? Oh, okay.
Have no idea.
I thought it was like a gang shooting. I didn't know what was going on. But
you never know.
Non-sideshow things about you, which I did doing my extensive research as I do. Apparently, you're on some website where they, as far as they estimate your net wealth. And it's pretty impressive.
Although interesting.
Yeah, it said you were a millionaire. Now you're not quite a millionaire. But so I don't know how accurate that is. But beyond that, I didn't know that you had graduated with a go Dodgers with a bachelor's in philosophy.
I got some too.
Yeah, you have a bachelor's in philosophy.
Yes, I do. I went to the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and did a degree in philosophy with a minor in criminal justice. Basically, because after I broke my back the second time, my doctors were like, hey, will you please take it seriously and get a real job, like a sit-down job, instead of a doing audio and sticking needles in your face job, because you're not doing so well physically. And so while I was recuperating from one of the surgeries, I did most of my degree online. And then for the last 2 years, I went to school, and I figured if I couldn't be a performer anymore, I wanted to be a lawyer to represent artists, you know, to work in entertainment law. So I went to school with that in mind. And then, you know, the day came where I had my law school application, my paperwork, all my stuff ready to go, and was about to put it in the mailbox. And I thought, you know what? What if I just wait one year and try, like, during that time, my recuperation, I'd done really well with rehab and was like, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to try, go back to performing, go back to belly dancing, go back to doing sound and see what happens. And I think that was about 13 years ago, something like that. I know I can always go back to school, so that's always still on the table. But like I said, in the meantime, while I still have the physical capability to go out and see this wide, weird world that we live in, I will do so.
Well, I was going to ask, what intrigued me about it was, I would imagine it does help you with your performance and controlling your crowd a bit.
Well, I think that's more the psychology of performing, you know, but for me, philosophy is just such a fundamental thing. Like, it's something that I think critical thinking should be taught so much more to all of the American populace. I think we can all agree.
Agreed.
There.
Agreed.
A little bit of critical thinking goes a long way, you know? But yeah, I don't know. I just, that's what I would read in my spare time, you know? Was always drawn to the existentialists and, you know, wanted to know more. So philosophy for me as a precursor to law school just made complete sense. And I love it, you know? I still, in my spare time, read a lot of weird, obscure philosophy stuff, you know? So it's more the, like I said, the critical thinking element that I think helps with performing and being able to look at a crowd and analyze all that. I think it's a bit more of the psychology of people that helps. Mm-hmm. But, you know, psychology is philosophy as well. What was that?
I said, you're a master of it. Hannah hasn't seen you live, but I have. And it's, other than the fact that you're just a striking physical presence, you really know how to control a crowd, because sometimes those double down crowds are a little raucous.
Oh,
double
yeah.
Down, have you ever been to Double Down Vegas, Hannah?
You know what? I've never done the traditional Vegas experience. I went there for a UFC fight, and that's about it. So I guess you would call me like a Vegas virgin.
Well, if you're ever there,
go to a club in Vegas, and you'd love it.
Uh-huh.
It's the happiest place on earth. It's definitely, anytime you're in Vegas, go in.
It's because of the Dodgers. It's happening with Mark, too. They're fireworks, Grandpa. Oh,
your grandpa's.
It's okay. Yeah. They're not gunshots.
Oh,
sorry,
no.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for that. They're shooting them off like crazy here, and Grandpa got scared.
No, that's okay. I'd be a little spooked too. So, yeah, go to the Double Down Saloon. There's okay. one in New York as well. And they both have their own thing. And, I used to do an event there once a month called Punk Rock Bingo, where we would have sideshow performers, burlesque performers, and then we would all get really hammered and play bingo. And
oh, fun!
Because of the Vegas weird gambling laws, the bar actually got in trouble for us doing a free bingo game, even though you won just like, I don't know, a Jameson t-shirt if Jameson was sponsoring the event, or maybe adult diapers that I got at the thrift store, or, you know, like, they weren't giving away anything of real value, but the actual gaming commission came in and said, you don't have a license to play bingo. And so the owner, the way we got around it is that I had a budget of $40 each month to put together 9 prize packages. So you can imagine I had to get pretty creative. And quite often, as I'm sure Mark can attest to, they ended up with the contestants that won being put into ridiculous costumes and tutus and, you know, just ridiculosity at its
aww,
peak. And,
I love that.
Yeah, it was a really fun show. I did it every month for 7 years, and miss it. Like, I missed having, you know, a fun regular gig, but I also really like being a permanent nomad. I've been living out of my suitcase traveling for the last 7 years, so mm-hmm. it's yeah. been worth it. I think it's a good exchange, I should say.
Yeah, and all these wonderful stories you're going to sit back and look back on, like when you're 90, be like, yeah, all the photos.
I always say, you know, nobody on their deathbed ever said, oh, I wish I would have traveled less.
Exactly, exactly.
So, the stories that you will tell your tattoo artist when you're 90, they're going to tell you. No, but also, Hannah, if you go to the Double Down, try the Ask You.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
That's their specialty drink. But the other thing,
okay.
You know, because you alluded to it, and you're probably your trained ears are probably just horrified by the Zoom sound that is on this recording. But you've been an audio, you've been working behind the scenes, mainly in audio production for a long time. Worked with Richard Cheese, Amazing Jonathan, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, I actually have a degree in audio production as well from the Art Institute of Seattle. So I started working at the Huntridge Theater in Vegas when I was 12 years old, pushing road cases so that I could get into shows for free at first. And then I got pushed to the side of the stage at one show, and I was watching the engineer, and I was like, so let me get this straight. You get to listen to music, do all the cool techie nerd stuff, plus you get your own like creative aspect on it. You get to travel and you get paid for this? Where do I sign up? And I basically did the same thing with him. He was like, yeah, right. Yeah, right, kid, you know, go get on your way. And I was like, I just kept coming back and pestered the hell out of him. And eventually he agreed to teach me. So I became an intern and started working and learning, and then was given a scholarship at the Art Institute of Seattle to get a degree. So did that. And then, yeah, have worked on stage as long as I've been working backstage, doing production design and tour managing and front of house sound and monitor engineering and all the crazy behind the scenes stuff.
Well, tour managing. Now you have to have some stories about that.
Indeed. Even the most banal day on the road is full of just so much weirdness, because everybody's out of their element. You have, you know, an instant like compressed family that has to create a working dynamic instantly, even if you've worked together before, you know, and you live together and travel together, get to know each other oh so intimately, with smells and quirks and foibles, and you know, it's a really interesting way to get to know people and to get to know cities, because you know, I can say that I've been in so many different cities in the United States, but only for one night. So I don't know the city, but I know the people that I met there were awesome and we had a great time, you know? But like, I've never really spent a lot of time in Asheville, for instance, but I know that the venue that I performed at was so cool, but that's it. So, you know, it's hard, but it's absolutely so rewarding. And you get, I don't know, I don't even know what stories I could start with. Like,
I was gonna say, no Richard Cheese groupie stories or anything like that.
Oh yeah. Richard Cheese.
And Hannah, you know Richard Cheese. I sent you the his version of WAP.
Oh yeah.
He does swing versions of rock and rap songs.
Yes. You did send that to me.
I'll send you some more. He's great. But go ahead, Jen.
He's amazing. We had a show in London, and Richard Cheese had never been performing outside of the U.S. And so when we were there, he was starting to have a bit of an existential crisis because he was just, it was the onslaught of all the newness to him that was really kind of unsettling. So I had to find an American chain eatery for us to go eat at so that he would kind of like get his baseline back to normal, you know, because I think we found a Chili's or an Applebee's or something like that. It was like, okay, yes, we're in a strange land, you know, where they speak a different language. In British English, but you know, everybody's got a crazy accent. But then he went out and performed for I think 150,000 people at a festival and had a blast, you know. But at first he was kind of like really uncomfortable with being that outside his comfort zone, but then he just, you know, went on stage and killed it, and everybody's, you know, lost their minds because he's hilarious. If you ever get a chance to see him live, the recordings are amazing.
I've seen him. Yeah, he's great.
Live, he is just so funny. He was actually a radio jock before he became Richard Cheese. So he's really good. He's snappy and witty as hell. And just, I definitely learned a lot from him about how to work an audience, for sure.
He knows radio DJ. No, I love him. I remember first hearing him was at a bachelor party somebody was playing it. It was just funniest thing I ever heard. And how ironic that we're getting the fireworks, you're getting the roosters, but topsy-turvy.
Yeah, right? We have all these crazy background sounds going on.
I hate to even ask about the Imagine Jonathan.
He used to host these incredible Halloween parties.
I heard.
Jonathan has a very, very, as you can imagine, sick and twisted sense of humor, and always wanted to put on the most extreme performances that we could come up with. So at the time I was working a swing shift sideshow, and you know, we'd all sit around and kind of powwow and go, okay, what's the weirdest shit we can do? Because this is the party that, you know, Carrot Top and Chris Angel and all these guys would come to after their shows. So it's like, how do you entertain the entertainers? You have to do something way above and beyond. And so we did a clown porn set, you know, where Little Miss Firefly, the midget of mischief, was running around in a clown getup, spanking somebody with a rubber chicken and throwing whipped cream pies. And, you know, there was so much weirdness. Every time we'd think, okay, wow, this is the weirdest shit we've ever done, Jonathan would be like, oh, that was awesome. So what are you guys going to do for next year? And then we'd all have to go, okay, all right, what's the weirdest shit you can think of? And so every year just escalated and escalated. So that was always a really fun. Oh yeah, that was top. That was not the top. There's some things that I legally can't talk about that happened, okay. That were just that crazy. But that was always a fun puzzle to try and figure out how to entertain people that are entertaining 24/7. You know.
Well, yeah, I can imagine, and especially the Amazing Jonathan, who's got such a great but a little twisted act.
Absolutely.
And from what I understand, that's just a. If it was up to him, it'd be 10 times more twisted.
Absolutely. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Him and his partner did a combined bachelorette party at the Double Down at a punk rock bingo. And so we made a slip and slide out of a banner and used fake blood and lube and mixed it all together. And so we had a bloody lube slip and slide you know, like just that level of randomness. It was awesome, you know, and they had a blast. So yeah, that guy's amazing. And he deserves the term Amazing Jonathan. He's one of the funniest dudes on the planet.
Absolutely. Hannah's right now that slip and slide idea for
that would be actually fun. Yeah.
It's super fun. It's super fun. It gets real messy real quick. We had a sponsor that would give us like 5-gallon jugs of industrial lube, which it was sex lube, but I don't know what made it industrial use, but we had a lot of it, so I couldn't, you know,
not we did lube wrestling.
Yeah.
Some are industrial strength.
Yeah. I don't know. For the real assholes out there, they do make industrial strength lube. But we did lube wrestling. We did all kinds of stuff with it. But I had so much left over that I was like, huh, what can I do in a tiny bar? A slip and slide. Yeah, that's not going to end in tears. But why not?
Well, this Halloween night, it was interesting because I was looking at our old interview that we did 4 years ago at a restaurant where there are sounds in the background as well. But what was interesting was that was around Halloween too. And right. I seem to catch you always around Halloween, but Hannah, we went over this a little bit, but Hannah, when Genocide was a little 8-year-old Genocide, she worked at a haunted house.
Uh-huh.
At 8 years old.
Oh.
Vegas doesn't exactly have child labor laws, apparently, but when you were 8?
Oh, when I was 8, probably about 5'6", 5'7". And I was a volunteer, so I wasn't working technically, and my mom was there, so it was all above board as having an 8-year-old screaming covered in fake blood, you know, with a knife running at you can be, I guess. But it makes it for those people who know me, it makes a lot of sense. They're like, oh, you've been working on haunted house? Yeah, that totally explains you. Like haunted houses plus LSD, it makes total sense about you. Not 8 LSD.
Good time, though.
Yeah, I waited.
Oh,
I was
no, obviously not 8.
At 13, I waited. I wasn't completed.
You did LSD when you were 13?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I was a really heavy. It does. I was a really heavy LSD user for most of my teens and 20s. And still occasionally when the stars align, I go for it. Because I think that psychedelics are a really good tool to get in the head and dig through the brain matter and work through your shit.
I've never done LSD. Have you, Hannah?
No, I have not.
I can not yet. Definitely recommend psychedelics. They've changed my life for the better, for sure. And helped me with depression and just coming to terms with yourself and learning about yourself and learning about how you think and how you relate to the universe and how you relate to yourself. If you know, yeah, there's fun party drugs, but I like to use them as tools.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if I do it and I'm not adverse to it, I would obviously do it with you or somebody knows that what they're doing.
Someone you're comfortable with. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about setting.
I'm kind of scared though because I did do an edible. Like my friend gave me this crazy edible, and this was just like 3 weeks ago. And I tried to crawl through my mirrors, and then I was like sending everybody messages about how we're on a mission, and we're just bots, and we'll see each other again. And my grandfather's tired, and he's old with his little bot. And everybody was like, "Nice message last night, cute videos, Hannah." And I woke up, and there's fingerprints all over my mirrors in my room, and my girlfriend's laughing at me. She said, "I had the best time with you."
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you had a good time. No,
I did.
No worries.
Yeah.
So you were trying to go in the mirror. You were like,
"Yeah, I was trying to go inside the mirror and climb." I'm like, "I bet I could get inside of the mirror."
She wanted to go hang out with the girl from the ring, you know?
Yeah.
Like my homie's in there. I know she is. I gotta go hook it up.
Yeah, who's the girl in the mirror? Well, my mother used to have a cockatiel, and it would always like just like tap at the mirror in the cage because it's always a bird.
Right. Yeah, self-awareness in animals is so crazy. Like when they realize all of a sudden, you know, like you see a dog realize that it's looking at itself, and that just the shattering of their little puppy minds, you know? You're like, oh, self-awareness. Oh, my God, it's so cute and tragic.
And I don't look like mommy.
Right.
Yeah.
Best is when dogs are asleep and they're dreaming, and you can tell they're, like, running in their dream.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my grandpa does that. Yeah, they kick their little feet.
I just actually... she's inside right now, but I can add a new line on my resume. I am a professional dog napper. I went on a mission to the Phi Islands a few days ago to find a stray dog that my friend had just fallen in love with. And because all the tourism is gone here, a lot of the islands that are tourism-based, owners of resorts are literally just up and leaving. They're leaving their employees, they're leaving the animals, and they're either gone for a while, as in they hope that they can come back, you know, once COVID changes the, you know, the laws, or they're just leaving and never coming back, and they don't have the money to pay anybody, and so they just abandon everything.
Right.
So you're seeing a lot more stray animals, and there's not a lot of income to help the local rescue organizations. And on a specific island, there is no rescue organization to help her get adopted or even spayed. She's less than 2 years old and has had a couple litters of puppies. And she was one of very few female dogs on the island. So she was surrounded by male dogs that were really aggressive all the time and was in heat all the time. So I went over there and with the help of one of the locals, put her in a basket and got her on a ferry. And she'd never been on a boat before. And she didn't know me at all. I hung out with her. I kept her in my room overnight. You know, we got to know each other, tried to let her know she was safe. Fed her a ton of food, lots of treats, lots of love. But then I literally just picked her up, put her in a basket, got on a boat, and then got into a van and had an epic, you know, like 5-6 hour journey. And now she's landed here at my friend's place in Koh Lanta, which is a beautiful, I'll show you guys, turn the camera here. This is the view over Kantiang Bay right now. If I can actually get the button to work. There we go.
Right.
So absolutely gorgeous house with a gorgeous view. And she's going to be spoiled completely rotten. She has a buddy. She's going to get spayed. Aww. She's going to be just living the puppy dream life. So, yeah, I did my my official first-time professional dog napping. And it went off without a hitch. And I'm totally down to do it again.
Oh, that's so good to hear.
Yeah, she's a cutie.
Happy stories.
Well, geez, yeah, where'd the time go? I mean, we've been talking for an hour. And we're talking about this. Sorry, Rooster. We're talking for an hour. We were talking for 15 minutes even before the show. But a couple more questions, and then I'm going to let you go. I don't know if there was something you wanted to do. I know we were talking about that as far as stunt-wise, but you don't have to. It's up to you. But
you know, actually, I wanted to do something for you, but my props are being held in customs in Bangkok, and I've been fighting with them to get my stuff over here. So I literally I've got nothing. I just got my big old loud mouth to talk to you, and unfortunately, that's it.
Your loud mouth is more than enough. This is such a great Halloween treat to have you on the show.
And
we're going to get to Halloween in a second, but Hannah was telling me she was watching your videos, and we went over to where you were the master of ceremonies for Motley Crue in Las Vegas for their residency. But yeah. Hannah's like, I was watching that, and the crowds are really old. Were you surprised how old the Motley Crue crowds were?
Well, you mentioned that, and I started laughing, and I was like, I get it.
You know, I mean, they've been around since the 80s, and we're in the 2020, you know, so yeah. their demographic group, but that's a demographic that literally grew up with them, you know, that so many people were coming in from all over the world to see that show because they wanted to see Motley Crue in an intimate environment. And that was one of the things that made that residency so special, is because the venue only held 6,000 people. So to see Motley Crue do a full, you know, huge production in a small, I mean, small for them, 6,000 seat venue, you know, people were coming from all over the world. Every single show was sold out. It was a first ever like rock and roll residency, you know, DJs do residencies, but it was the first rock and roll residency. and went over like gangbusters. And, you know, yeah, it was an older crowd, but older compared to what, you know? I've also done, you know, done shows for the Doobie Brothers, and that's a much older demographic even, you know? So
right.
I was just blown away every single show by the awesome energy of their fans. Like, their fans are so into them and are so supportive and just like give it their all the entire show. You know, there's people up in front just going for it for an entire 2.5 hour show, you know? So the dedication and the love is still definitely there in spades.
Plus, you have to appreciate the audio quality, being an expert.
Being the geek that I am, yeah. And I'd actually put together and help design all of the freak show stuff and that. So we had girls on stilts. We girls on stilts fire breathing. We had aerialists doing, instead of silks, using chains. So we got it was really nice to work with the Motley crew to come up with interesting ways to use such a small space. You know, they're used to stadiums and arenas and having a lot of room to do a lot of big production stuff. So to try and finagle as much awesomeness into that small of a space was a real treat, because we had to really think out of the box. And I think the show was incredible, and really, really happy that I got to be a part of it, because it was absolute madness every single night.
And they kept their hands to themselves. Seemed so unlike them.
No, they were all so great to work with. I mean, Tommy Lee, you know, after a 16-hour day rehearsing and going through stuff, he would be sitting with the lighting guy, going through different color combinations, you know. And Nikki Six is just amazing. Such a brilliant, creative dude that anytime I'd throw the most insane thing at him, because he'd be like, okay, well, what's the craziest thing we could do with the theme of air? And I'd be like, all right, so hear me out. We shoot a midget out of a cannon, and they fly over the audience, and they land in a net on the stage. And he was like, cool, let's get some numbers going. Tell me how we got to work it. What's the logistics on it, you know? So that unfortunately didn't make it into the show, but you know, that they had that level of openness to just get weird and crazy. So they were an absolute treat to work with.
What did you do with the Doobie Brothers?
I mixed sound for them once a billion years ago, you know, at Station Casino. You know, working in Vegas as a sound engineer, you're basically, you're mixing the greatest hits of every era, because every band, they hit a certain time in their lives, a time in their careers, that they play Vegas. You know, it'll be like the 60s rerun down on Fremont Street. And so they'll have a bunch of bands from, you know, or Jan and Dean will come and perform. So as a sound engineer, I was mixing all the different bands that would come through Vegas, and, you know, working in an old punk and metal venue where I mixed, you know, got to work with Korn and Marilyn Manson and Tool and all these bands when they were just coming up. And then as I got older and was able to make enough money and, you know, really knew my shit, then I got to move up and do more corporate work in some of the bigger venues in Vegas. So I also got to mix a lot of, you know, I got to work for Tina Turner, dude. She was awesome. You know,
queen. Yes.
She is the queen. I mean, I would just, she wanted me to wear see-through pants so that everybody could see my tattoos.
That's awesome.
She was so good.
I've seen Tina Turner live. She's great.
Oh, I envy you guys.
She said one of the most badass things ever. It was like an 18-hour day rehearsal. She's dancing all of her parts. She's singing. Everybody's working their asses off. She's got two backup dancers that just cannot get this one move down. At this point, the entire crew is doing all the choreography because we've all been watching it for so long, you know? So we're like, okay, shake it. Okay, you know, we've all got it down, but these two, like, 18-year-old backup dancers just keep screwing up. So we keep having to start over. So finally, she just goes, okay, babies, does grandma need to show y'all how to dance? Chucky, take it from the top. After an 18-hour day, she started at the top of her show, went through, did all of her dance moves, all of their dance moves, didn't miss a beat, got to the end and was like, okay, babies, you good? And the girls were just like, I just got called the fuck out by Tina Turner for not being able to remember which one's my left, which one's my right, you know? And man, live, she has so much energy and is just such an incredibly positive person and an absolute pleasure to work with. I mean, I felt like I was in the presence of royalty, you know? It's just like,
you were
not worthy. Yeah, she was amazing.
I was curious about that because, you know, your act goes well with Motley Crue. I was trying to think. Maybe you were emceeing for the Doobie Brothers. That would be a little jarring.
No, that would be a bit. Yeah.
Plus, he's listening and then, what a fool, Belize. I don't know if that goes. But before we got, and we got to talk about Halloween.
Yeah.
What was your favorite costume when you were a kid? Now, you're a little more advanced than everybody else. You were working in a haunted house at eight.
Well, I was going to say, keep in mind, every year except for the last few, I've always worked in haunted houses or been working shows on Halloween, right? So I can't really answer that because as a kid, I didn't really go out and trick or treat. You know, I would go and work in a haunted house because I loved it and had a fucking blast with it. So I don't know. I don't even remember what I would dress up as before before I started working in haunted houses. Oh, here, I'm going to show you guys the dog I just kidnapped.
Okay.
So this is Marlin. Hi, pretty girl. And that's her buddy, Brando.
Aww.
So we've got Marlin and Brando. And today is her very first day waking up in a new house. And she's super chill and hanging out and just like, cool, I get treats and belly rubs and don't have to worry about finding food or, you know, big, crazy, angry male dogs trying to hunt me all the time. This is awesome. So,
well, you got me too.
What
you
was that?
Got me and rub my belly and treats.
Yeah, you just gotta, you know, get yourself into Thailand.
I was gonna ask you what your favorite Halloween candy was.
Oh, that's a tough one. Oh, look, the Brando.
Brando.
Oh, Brando. My favorite candy, probably, I loved candy corn. I really loved candy corn.
Yeah. Like, I did too.
It's the grossest shit ever. But I would eat it color by color because I think I had some.
I do that, yeah. You know, I thought I was the only one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, okay, so we all eat it that way. That's a very important question now answered.
It is.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
No, the white tastes different. The white tastes different. The white part.
It does. It can, but it does. It totally does. Yeah, it's really weird to be in a country that doesn't really celebrate Halloween for me, you know? So the party that I'm doing on the 30th, it's actually an anniversary party. It's not a Halloween party. But I think there's a bar here on the island that I'm at that's going to be doing a big Halloween party. So I'm just going to go. I'm not going to do anything. And it's going to be really weird.
Go to a Halloween party.
And not do anything. Yeah.
After these years since you were 8 years old.
I don't know what to do with myself. Yeah. And, you know, I got I'm here in Thailand on a language visa to learn the Thai language. So I actually have language class Halloween night from 6 to 8. And I don't know if I'm going to do like some crazy makeup or whatever, you know, but it's a Zoom class. So it's an online course. So I'm going to be trying to speak Thai with, you know, probably some kind of corpse paint or something on.
That would be cool. How is it going? Is it simple? Is it hard? Like, how are you?
Speaking it is pretty easy. The learning the grammar it's kind of backwards from the way that we do it. So it takes time to, you know, you put a question mark word at the end of a sentence. And, you know, learning all of that has been really good. But now we're starting to get into the reading and the writing. And they have 74 different letters. 74.
Goodness.
And on top of that, with the 74 words, consonants and letters, they then have a tone mark. So you can say any of those in 5 different tones. And it can mean 5 completely different things based on how you use your inflection. So I'm just really getting started. I'm only a couple months in, but now we're starting with the reading and the writing, and I'm like, oh, my brain hurts. it's
you're gonna do great.
We'll see. We'll see. Nit noi.
Can you take us out? There we go. I was going to say, can you say something before we end the show? Tai.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Thank you very much for having me. This has been a blast.
Well, let me ask you two more questions.
Okay.
Is there anything that scares you?
Snakes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I wouldn't guess.
You know, everybody says that. I used to be a belly dancer, and they're like, come on, you got to be a snake charmer. We're going to freak show. You got to be a snake charmer. And I'm like, no, I'm a stay the fuck away from me charmer. I've worked really hard with different psychedelics and different therapy methods and everything else to there's Marlon. Look how cute these goddamn dogs are.
Marlon and Brando.
Marlon and Brando, absolutely. Yeah, I think snakes are awesome. I have them tattooed all over me. But if I see one, it doesn't matter if it's this big, I will be, you know, the elephant and the mouse and teleport like mm-hmm. a cat about 70 feet away. So, yeah, yep. Snakes, that's what I'm afraid of.
I encourage everybody to go over to your website, Jen. It's genocide.com, right?
You got it.
And you can get T-shirts and stickers that say, do you even lift, bro, with you lifting things with your vagina? But the one thing I did want to ask you before we go, there's something that says just the tip. And I think I know what that's referring to, but I'm not really 100% sure.
Well, you know, it's the tip, I promise, you know. Yeah. It's just a bit of an inside joke, but everybody has that inside joke, pun intended. You know, it's I purposely only did them on women's shirts, you know. And So guys that aren't into anal play, you know, like, come on, just the tip, I promise. It's just a...
it is what I think it is.
Absolutely. It's talking about putting things in your ass. Yeah.
Okay.
Specifically women putting things in men's asses, because it's a female's finger saying, just the tip, I promise, you know, because women need exploratory fun too.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to tell Hannah about that. Hannah, how awesome is genocide?
Huh?
I said, how awesome is genocide?
Fucking brilliant.
You guys are too sweet.
Fucking brilliant.
Thank you.
I told you. Anyway, Jen, I'll see you in person at some point, and hopefully it won't be 4 years before we talk. And everybody, go to genocide.com and all the best for you. I remember meeting you at the hacker convention in Las Vegas.
DEF CON.
10 years ago, 12 years ago probably now. And yeah. It's just, you know, it's, sometimes you're drawn to somebody in the room and you're like, wow, this is somebody I got to meet. And you know, it's every time we're in a room, it's always fun to just get together. It's, you have a very strange energy and so do I. And together it seems to work very well.
Aww. Yeah, absolutely. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
And thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
And Jen, you also want to check out Hannah's other podcast, Vegans Uncensored.
Awesome.
And possibly you can come on and tell them more about the vegan festival or the veggie festival. I know it.
I would love to hear about that.
And and follow Hannah vegan. On. Yeah. I think Hannah's following you on Instagram. Going to be following you on Instagram very shortly, if not already.
Yep.
Follow back. It's Hail Hannah Box 666.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Or at Vegans Uncensored. And go to Goth Community and all social media. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week and Halloween.
Bye. Okay. Halloween, everybody. Thank you so much.
Happy Halloween. Thank you.
Happy Halloween.